How do you overshadow a 40-point performance from Jason Tatum? How about with Peyton Pritchard? We're going to talk about the Celtics' win over the Toronto Raptors on this Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Bill, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back, and thank you for making this Locked On Celtics podcast part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales, I cover the team, I host this podcast, and I'm the author of the new book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Get it now at all online booksellers. Coming to you today, this Tuesday, after a 126-114 Boston Celtics win over the Tampa Bay Raptors, and it was a rough start, but a great middle and a rough ending, still enough for the Boston Celtics to win. If you're a new listener, welcome. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. I hope you continue to enjoy this podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Regular listeners, you know what to do. Rate, review if you haven't done so already. I already see a bunch of those ratings and reviews. Thank you. You've made this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. And you know that the post-game show is segment one, the good, which is Jason Tatum and Peyton Pritchard, as you might have guessed. Segment two, the bad, the start, the finish, and a couple of performances that were not so great. Segment three, I think we're starting to see some of the lineups shaking out. Like we're the stuff that I was kind of hesitant to dive down before, I think we're starting to really see that certain things are shaking out, and I feel more comfortable with some of these lineup things. So I'm going to talk about that in the third segment. In this game, Celtics, 126-114. The first quarter was bad. They did not play very well at all. They came out, they looked like a team that was on a back-to-back that went from Detroit to Florida. Normally, this would be a Detroit to Toronto, which is like flying from Boston to New York. I love the Boston to New York flights. You're up, you're down, boom, it's done. They come by, they give you a drink, and then by the time you're done, it's ready to land. So that's as far as back-to-backs go, that's an easy one to do. But instead, they had to fly from Detroit down to Tampa for the game because that's where the Raptors are playing this year. So the first, most of the first quarter, they didn't look good. They were sluggish. They were not rotating on defense. They were way behind. They were giving away a ton of open looks. And the Raptors took advantage, shooting 7 of 14 from 3 in the first quarter. But in the second quarter, Peyton Pritchard, the Celtics were without Marcus Smart. They were without Jeff Teague. Peyton Pritchard helped bring the Celtics back. They tied the game up behind him, Semi Ojeleye, Grant Williams. Then Jason Tatum took over and scored 21 of his points, 21 of his 40 in the second quarter. Third quarter, he still had it cooking. And then the fourth quarter, the Celtics were up a ton. They let go of the rope. Toronto started to really press and go hard finally. And the Celtics didn't handle it well. They kind of relaxed. And Jason Tatum had to go back into the game. Jaylen Brown had to go back into the game with a 25-point lead cut back down to about 10. So the Celtics end up holding on. Jason Tatum was pissed about it. Jason Tatum's obviously the first good in this recap here. 40 points overall on 11 of 19 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3, 13 of 13 from the line. Beautiful. This is, obviously 40 points is a lot to ask, but this is the type of performance that you demand from a Jason Tatum. 13 free throws is chef kiss, mwah, beautiful. That's what he should be doing. And it wasn't like a grifting 13 free throws. He was attacking. And you're going to talk about playing through the contact. He actually was going strong to the rim and playing through the contact and drawing these free throws. I thought that was a really good Tatum performance. The shooting, I mean, this is sublime kind of stuff. And, you know, he adds the 6 rebounds. He adds 2 blocks. He adds a couple of assists. This was, in 31 minutes, a basically perfect Jason Tatum type of game. Early on, the Raptors were really, really collapsing. And in the second quarter, they were face guarding him. They were hounding him. And so they were playing basically 4-on-4. And now you get into the other good Peyton Pritchard, who was 8 of 13 shooting for 23 points, a team-high 8 assists, a couple of rebounds, and 3 turnovers, a team-high plus. No, I'm sorry, Grant Williams was a team-high plus 28. He's coming up. But Pritchard, along with Ojale and Grant Williams, in a 13-4 beginning of a run for the Celtics. When by the time they tied it up in the second quarter, Pritchard, Ojale, Grant scored 10 of the 13 points. Pritchard assisted or scored on all of the baskets in that run except for one, which was a Tatum three-pointer. Pritchard did not start the game. No Marcus Smart, no Jeff Teague. Tremont Waters started the game. I'm going to talk about Tremont in the second segment, unfortunately. But Pritchard looked great. Pritchard looked in control. Pritchard was doing anything. I'm writing in my notes, Pritchard getting whatever he wants out there. Pritchard doing all kinds of things. He was, in one stretch, like, dominant. He was controlling the game. Now, again, reminder, 4 years of college. He's actually a couple months older than Jason Tatum. We think of him as a rookie, which he is, but he's grown. He's an adult. He's not a 19-year-old that is just learning things. Like, this is why, and Aaron Nesmith is going to get mentioned in the second segment, but I think this is part of why Nesmith is struggling to grasp things while Pritchard is grasping things. And the 4 years in college, Pritchard said after a game, I forget which game it was, but like last week, you know, after his freshman and sophomore years, he realized, like, okay, I'm not preparing myself as well as I should. He has that maturity. Like, as you grow, each year from 19 to like 30, like your entire 20s, like each year the maturity just really, it jumps a lot. Like, you're learning a lot in those years. And for Pritchard to have that time in college, that's time in the pros that he wasn't kind of like struggling for a spot or struggling to prove that he belongs and trying to grasp some more advanced things and playing against bigger, faster, stronger guys. It served him well. It basically just, it served him well. So he comes into the league with a maturity to handle things. And then you add the obvious effort and stuff. He was fantastic. A lot of times he just makes plays by being faster and moving faster than everybody else and trying harder than everyone else. It was, I mean, I don't know how many times I can come on here and gush about Pritchard. He did a fantastic job and was, like I said, in control. Shemi Ojale was a beneficiary and really was great spotting up and hitting shots. Didn't try to do too much. He ends up with 12 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. His shot is smoother. He's refined that jumper. He shoots it more kind of on the way up. It's subtle, but you can see it. That the shot that he took, and I was looking at some of the videos earlier from his rookie year and last year, and you see, like, he shoots it at the top of his jump. And okay, that's how most people, right at their peak, they're releasing it. It wasn't working for Shemmy. He refined his shot. He shoots it more on the way up. A little, I'm going to say the name Steph Curry, but only because he's the one that has really revolutionized that shooting style, where shooting on the way up. I mean, it just makes for a quicker release. So he's adopted that sort of style, and it's working for him. So he's going to be part of my conversation in the third segment. But a fantastic game from Semi Ojeleye, fantastic game from Grant Williams, who went from a DNP to, like I said before, team high plus 28, 14 points, 3 of 4 from 3, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, which the defense that he played was fantastic. This is a Grant Williams game from last year. Coming in after not playing against Detroit, very important. I thought this was a nice bounce back, does wonders for his confidence. He said that he gets into his own head sometimes, thinking about his role. And that is, I think, something he's got to work through. This is an interesting time for him. It was great to see him go out there and do what he had to do and have this performance. Got to shout out Robert Williams. 11 points, 15 rebounds, 2 blocks, 6 offensive rebounds, by the way. Putbacks, he's playing well. He still makes mistakes. You know, he had that one play where he had a nice play to save the ball, and then he chucked it 90 feet down the other end. So he still has his moments, like he did in Detroit, where he just rebounded and tried to quick outlet like a touch pass. I don't know what the hell that was. But Rob is playing extraordinarily well. For him especially, he's going to be part of the conversation in the third block. And then all of a sudden, I should just mention, oh, by the way, Jaylen Brown, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a really nice night, quietly just laying low under the radar and having a really nice, efficient 7 of 14 shooting, 7 of 16 shooting. It's just a nice game. It was a nice game. He didn't try to do too much. He let Jason Tatum, just like Tatum kind of was like backing off when Jaylen scored 42, he went out and let Tatum go do his work and drop 40, one shy of his career high. He should have. He went out there after the Celtics blew the lead. He should have been a little bit more aggressive, but he didn't care. He could have dropped 45 there. He might have gotten 50 if he wanted to. Mike Gorman was talking about him getting 50. I wonder what the odds of him getting 50 were. That's not on betonline.ag. Unless I look, maybe I should look harder for that. I can ask them to put that up there. They might do it for me, because we've got the promo code locked on if you want to sign up at BetOnline and get a 50% welcome bonus. There's a lot to bet on now. Football is heading into the playoffs. Everybody's focused on that. There's some college bowl games. There's all sorts of, obviously, NBA, college basketball, a ton. And you got to go to betonline.ag to sign up for that free account so you can see all the different ways that you can lay a bet down on these games. Again, use the promo code locked on. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever it is that you like to do, in-game stuff, and a game like this where you're seeing what Jason Tatum is doing, you can go to the in-game bets and see what kind of odds you have in the third quarter, fourth quarter, of what Tatum's going to do, what the team's going to do. There are a lot. And this isn't like the old days of just saying, I want 10 bucks on the Celtics to win, you know, or win by 3 or whatever. There's a lot. It's really come a long way. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Go ahead and get into the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. 2020 is over. Thankfully, mercifully, put it in the rear view. It's time for a fresh start. It's time for a few more wins. So after you've signed up for that free betonline.ag account, go ahead and listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, NBA locks all winter long. So subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Now, moving on to the bad. I've already mentioned the start. I kind of mentioned the finish. I think the Celtics got a little lazy while they were up as much as 26 late. And they, Toronto got desperate. Toronto put in even their, they emptied their bench. And the Celtics bench versus the Toronto bench. Well, the Toronto bench was like trying to real hard. And that that ending was a little shaky, shall we say? It even pissed off Jason Tatum. I mean, he slammed that chair and he sat his guys down. He was really animated. I asked him about it after the game, and he just wouldn't say anything about it. He's, oh, I was just talking to the guys about the game. Yeah, we saw. We saw how pissed off you were. What were you saying there, Jason Tatum? I want to know. Either way, I mean, look, the Celtics, honestly, are kind of lucky because all of a sudden with the team down, up only 10, you can see, even with the mask on, that Brad Stevens was pissed off that he had to send his guys back in there. And Scal was talking about on the broadcast. And I'll tell you, coming off the floor for a, you know, in a blowout, sitting on the bench, you're done, right? Like, it's like you're goofing around on the bench and you're watching these guys start to give it away and give it away and give it away. When you have to get back in there, it's like the big brother coming in to get the little brother out and be like, come on, do I got to bail you out here? So that's why Jason Tatum was pissed off. I mean, that's when Scal was saying that's a bad feeling walking off the floor. When you're a bench guy and you're in there and you're not able to hold a 25-point lead, 26-point lead, that's crappy. Now, is it that big of a deal? No, because these guys aren't going to play a ton, but it's still... That's not great. That's not great. And Tremont Waters was on the floor for a lot of that. Tremont Waters, and I love Tremont Waters. I'm a big fan of Tremont Waters. In a Celtics game where they led by 26 and won by 12, Tremont Waters was a minus 17 in 24 minutes. 1 of 8 shooting, 5 assists. Okay, nice. 4 turnovers, 4 fouls, 5 points. Not a good performance from Tremont Waters. I like Tremont Waters. I think that he's a very good player. I think that he's a very good point guard. I was surprised when he was starting, but I thought a couple of things. He's the better passer between him and Pritchard. I think he's a more creative passer. I think he's a more creative player. But I thought that, so I thought, by the way, that made sense to play with Tatum and Brown and those guys. He can feed those guys. He can create for those guys. And that Pritchard coming off the bench was a role that he was comfortable with. Now, not so much. Tremont is, and I want to be fair to him because he doesn't play much and he hasn't had an opportunity to play. You know, they're not practicing much, so they're not playing in the G League where he was rookie of the year last year. Not that that means a ton, but still very good player. He's a very good player. You just really wonder now how much of an impact he's going to make on this team. Pritchard has passed him by. I think the two-way deal that he signed, like he had no choice but to sign the two-way deal. And this year, the two-way deal is a little bit more lucrative. It's $500,000, and you get to play in 50 games. And the rules changed because of COVID. But it's I don't know, and I don't want to overreact to this one game, but you start to wonder because where's his opportunity going to come from? Pritchard. Brad Stevens, after the game, said, fair or unfair to Pritchard, we're going to ask him to do a lot. That's just how it is. They're going to ask him to do a lot. So Waters has been surpassed. They brought in Jeff Teague. Marcus Smart exists. Kemba Walker's going to come back at some point. This all points to Tremont not lasting long here. But I think he has a future as a professional basketball player. I just don't know that the NBA is where that's going to be. But as I've said it here, I've said it to other people, there's a very nice life to live playing in Barcelona or Italy or Greece, you know, living a nice life in a nice country, making a ton of money, millions of dollars to play a sport. And I think that level might be where Tremont Waters succeeds. It's the same thing I say about Carson Edwards. It's not the NBA dream, and maybe you can come back after building up a reputation out there, but I think that might be where his future lies. Now, I say that knowing that he's just a second-year player, he's a two-way guy. There's plenty of time. Maybe that's not true. Maybe he is an NBA player. I don't know. But right now, it's that opportunity is probably not going to come with the Boston Celtics. And next year, that two-way slot's going to have to go to somebody else. So we'll see. We'll see how Tremont's future looks, but I'll just leave it at that. Aaron Nesmith, what his future holds for him in Boston, he got some minutes and did not look good. 10 minutes. 0 for 3, four fouls, 2 rebounds, a minus on the night. He came in and looked lost defensively. His first defensive possession, he went to double. He followed the ball, and then he realized, nope, I'm supposed to be on this other guy. He was a step late, and he fouled the guy. Then he overhelped. And he lost Fred VanVleet for a 3. Then Kyle Lowry caught him on a grift. And frustrating, like defensively, he's just slow. He's not picking things up yet. Not a big deal. He's the classic example of what happens in this situation, this COVID situation, where you don't have the summer league and the training camp and all of that. This is how that's supposed to look. You know, sucks for Aaron Nesmith. And then it's I think, carrying over into his offense. Because the one thing he's supposed to do is shoot, and he's not shooting. I think he's rushed. I think he's just confused. He needs to calm down. His second stint was a little bit better. He got a pass in the corner. He attacked a closeout, couple of dribbles, moved the ball. It ended up with a Tatum 3. That was much better. So, jury's very much still out on Aaron Nesmith, but he is certainly struggling with the limited minutes. A guy that could certainly benefit, obviously, from the summer league and all of that other stuff, but also a G League. He could, right now, he should be getting reps, getting some confidence in the G League. A couple other bad things. Daniel Theis, 13 minutes. This might not have been the matchup for him to play the 4. But only 13 minutes, he 3 rebounds, 1 made basket, missed 2 free throws. Poor performance from Daniel Theis in this one, following up a really great performance against the Detroit Pistons. And the last bad thing I just want to say is poor Aaron Baines. He looks lost in Toronto. He looks lost. That's not working out well for him. I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Baines, but that's not working out right now in Toronto. There's not a lot that's working out right now in Toronto. Up next, I'm going to talk about the lineups. We're starting to see some things shake out. So we'll talk about the lineups when I come back. It's the winter time. You're out there, you're driving, there's salt on the roads, there's stuff all over. You're going to get dings, you need wipers, you need all sorts of stuff. So you got to go to rockauto.com to get what you need to repair or maintain your cars. Is a way to save money so you can use that for other important things like a mortgage, food. Why would you choose to spend 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a dealership. That doesn't make sense. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So whatever your level of expertise, if you're looking to fix something in your engine and you know how to do that, rockauto.com's got you covered. If you're looking to be like me, winter driver, it's going to need windshield wipers, you know, those floor mats, the industrial stuff to get us through these New England winters, rockauto.com. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on what the market would bear like an airline does. That doesn't make any sense. There's no membership required, no login. You just go through their catalog. That's easy to navigate. You're going to quickly see what parts are available for your vehicle, choose the brand, choose the specs, choose the prices, and you will see it all on rockauto.com. The prices are always reliably low. They're the same for the pros. They're the same for the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And this is the important part. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box. If you buy something, they have a "How Did You Hear About Us" box. You got to put "Locked On" in there so they know that we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We are 8 games into the season, the Celtics season, and it's still too early to make definitive conclusions. We're still not 100% sure about certain things. Some guys are performing great in some games, not so great in others. So people like Grant Williams has had some rough times, but had a great time against the Raptors. He's had some good stretches. But I think we're starting to finally see some of the evidence for certain lineups. Again, not definitive, not 100% sure. I think there are going to be matchups where the lineups change. I think this is very much a matchup-dependent type of season for the Celtics. But it's becoming pretty clear that Daniel Theis guarding quick power forwards is not going to work. Brad Stevens in this game, in the third quarter, sat Daniel Theis and started Semi Ojeleye. Against a team like the Raptors, that makes sense. Now, maybe against some bigger teams like we saw against Milwaukee, we saw against Brooklyn, maybe teams that have some more size, there is a way to use both of these guys. Indiana was a good matchup against Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. That makes sense. And in that game, in those games, the Celtics generally, like in the first quarters, that lineup started well. In the second half, not so much. If they can get some consistency with that, then maybe they can do it a little bit more in these matchups. But it's pretty clear. We saw it against Jeremy Grant. We saw it in this Raptors game. Daniel Theis, it's becoming unfair to put Daniel Theis out there against the quicker power forwards in the league. So I think that Semi Ojeleye looks good enough in his early season performances that you go to him and start him. I think that he's the nicest kind of balance between strength and ability to defend a four and some of the quicker guys. Now, he's shooting really well. He's 6 of his last 11 from 3. I like the way he's modified his shot. I like some of the things that he's been doing out there defensively. I think we might be in a spot here where Semi Ojeleye is a good enough option to start at the four, and then you start Tristan Thompson. Or maybe there are scenarios where Thompson comes off the bench, but until Kemba Walker gets back, Smart, Tatum, Brown, Semi, and Tristan Thompson works. Plus, having another guy out there that can be a threat. If you're sitting there and you're saying, well, we're going to help off of Semi Ojeleye, now the past couple of games, and we saw in the preseason too, you're really taking a chance. Now, he's not going to shoot 3 of 5 every night. He's not going to be a 60% three-point shooter. He's not going to be the 50% that he shot against Detroit, but he's going to be, if he can be up around 40 in that limited time, now you've got a threat out there that can still bang, that's obviously still strong. I think that works. Now you have Tice off the bench. You have Robert Williams off the bench. And you can kind of work them in however the matchup works. If one guy has it and one guy don't, then the guy who doesn't have it doesn't play. So it's not ideal. The lineups that the Celtics have to work with are not ideal. But I think getting away from the too big lineup, getting another shooter, and getting Ojeleye in there makes the most sense. It kind of goes back to what we were saying, what I was saying before the season, that starting Grant makes sense. And maybe Grant guarding fours isn't exactly the way you should go either, but this is the same idea. And then you add Pritchard to the mix. I think Pritchard, now if Marcus Smart misses another game, Pritchard's got to be the guy you go to. He's the starter, and I don't know if he stays the starter. I don't know that he and Marcus Smart next to each other is the way to go, because he's a little too short up top, but regardless, Pritchard has now become the backup. In fact, he should probably take most of Teague's minutes as well. But Pritchard has earned over this time, and it's pretty obvious that he is ready for this moment, that it's not going to be great, and you still have Teague, and you're going to have, obviously, eventually with Kemba, things are going to change. But Pritchard is as the main backup to Marcus Smart, and the guy who should start when Marcus Smart is out with that sprained thumb, I think that makes sense. So just some lineup tweaks. I think the too big experiment, we're seeing some things. I don't think the Celtics are in a position to keep experimenting with that. I think we've learned pretty quickly when that works, when that doesn't, why it works, why it doesn't. And it's unfair to Daniel Tice to put him in that position. It's just unfair. And the Celtics don't have the luxury of messing around too much and losing games because of it. Now it's obviously very early. It's a 72 game season in 8 games. It's a little bit more magnified, but the Celtics are 5-3. They're in the middle of the pack in the playoff picture. Things are obviously going to change. I don't think Orlando is going to sit up there for very long. I don't think the Cavaliers are going to be hanging around in the playoff picture for very long. Obviously, I think Miami and Brooklyn are going to re-enter the playoff picture. So it's all very tight, and I'm not going to overreact to any of that stuff. The Celtics are kind of where they should be. And now they've just got to reevaluate some of these lineups. So hopefully, Brad Stevens has seen enough. Like I am not as down on the too big lineup as most people are. I think it has its place. And Brad Stevens did say before the game, hey, I'm going to have to play that lineup at some point. We're not going to play it as much when Kemba's back, which does signal that it's going to be probably Kemba and Marcus Smart in the starting lineup with Tatum and Brown and one of the bigs. So that kind of tipped his hand a little bit. So if that's going to be the case, then just don't go too big now anymore. If that's going to be the case, use it sparingly. Use it when it's appropriate. But starting each half with it, it's you don't want to put the Celtics, you don't want to put them in a position to have to come back over and over again. So a little bit of clarity sitting there for the Celtics, I think. A reminder to subscribe not only to this show, but to the Locked On NBA show, which I host on Wednesdays. It's a rotating group of hosts. So on Tuesday, you're going to get Wes Goldberg and Dave Vermill. It's like an East meets West thing. Wes covers the Warriors. David is Locked On Heat, and we cover we're playing the Heat next. So check out Locked On Heat. Check out David. Check out the Locked On NBA podcast. I'll be on Locked On NBA on Wednesday with Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. If you haven't done that already, please do that. Please buy my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, available at all online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of that place. Please do that. If you have done that, please give it a good rating and review on Amazon. Nice, you know, helps me out. Just like you've helped me out with this podcast. By subscribing, by also rating and reviewing this podcast, more people have found it. That's why it's the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the land. So thank you for that. And thank you for sharing the podcast and telling everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.